I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts. God, so blue.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, sunny and 73 degrees already in downtown Salt Lake City. Thanks for joining us, Maria Chaleos. Ton Bettis with you this morning. We're taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. And right back to our phone lines this morning, we have Mike in Orem. Good morning, Mike. How can we help you?
Did we already take Mike?
Did we take Mike?
I just saw the long patches.
I apologize.
Let's go. This is Mike right here.
Mike. Hi. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm from Orem. Hey, my problem is a lawn problem. And the lawn came out really well this spring. And remember we had a couple of really cool days in June. I had a commercial fertilization and pesticide, not pesticide, but herbicide applied. And then I have this area next to my driveway that dries out quicker than the rest of the lawn. And I've had that for years. This is like a 33-year-old lawn. But then it started to turn brown, you know, and I just thought maybe it was fertilizer over-fertilization, you know, from the commercial treatment. But now I am pulling up on it and it's coming up, you know, with no roots, coming up easily. So I'm assuming it's some pest. I'm not sure. You know, it's perfectly green, and then it just goes total brown. I mean, not or total yellow.
So on the new areas where you're seeing the new yellowing, have you tried pulling those up?
Yeah, some of them are still attached, but where it's gone really brown and yellow, it will come up fairly easy, kind of like you're just picking up some straw.
Okay. What I'm trying to differentiate is that if it's insect problems, where it is newly yellowed and just browning within the last week or two, they would pull up and you would see the soil surface with maybe some what looks like chewed up grass or what frass. But if it's just pulling up and leaving the crowns behind, then that would more indicate maybe drought stress. And so have you noticed if you're getting down to bare soil or is there just the tops of the grass coming?
In certain places, it will go down to where you can see dirt, where I pull. When I pull on it, I'll actually see the dirt.
Okay. Okay, so if you're pulling and seeing the soil itself, that would be most likely Kentucky bluegrass billbug or maybe sod webworm. When you walk on the lawn, are you seeing any moths fly up?
I haven't noticed it this year.
Okay.
I did last year. I noticed some last year.
If you don't have any moths coming up, that would most likely eliminate sod webworm. Now, when we have really hot years with drought stress, false chinch bug usually rears its ugly head, but Kentucky bluegrass billbug and a few others, fortunately, the treatment for these is the same. Now, we're getting a little late in the year to be really treating. You could maybe try a preventative to see if it stopped further damage. But when we start getting, especially into late July into August, when a lot of the stuff just really goes crazy, the damage is residual and delayed because the grass doesn't immediately die when the roots are chewed off. There's a 10-day or 2-week delay. And so that damage will show up even though the Kentucky bluegrass billbug, the larvae feeding on your grass has gone dormant. So it may be worth trying to get a preventative down still. We're getting to the time it wouldn't be, but if it's just spreading still, I would try it, see what you get. And then next spring, and depending on the temperature, sometime between early May and early June, you'll want to get a preventative down then.
What do you use for a preventative?
Garden centers will have several available, and there's not really one better than others. Early in the spring, I prefer Ortho's GrubX because the product in it is less likely to harm beneficial insects, and it lasts a long time. But BioAdvanced and Fertilome, many companies make them. A lot of them have the same active, a few have slightly different ones, but it would be more important just to get one down.
That's the preventative. What do I do now?
Some things like Granular 7 or there's another one, Dilox, but they're hit and miss. You've got to get them down and get them watered in. And they're a lot of times broken down in the soil within about 48 hours, and so you've got a short window. This is something that we're kind of in panic mode now, that if you didn't, unfortunately should have been treated for, and I'm not saying, that's bad that you didn't or anything, because you just sometimes things show up. But the ideal time to treat for this was about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, I've never had that before.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's quite an old one. I've never had it before.
Yeah, so in the future, what I would do is maybe for the next 2 to 3 years, put the preventative down every spring, especially next year, put the preventative down in the spring and redo it in early July.
Okay, how about replacement? Will this come back, do you think, or am I going to have to
If it is grub damage, there's usually little sprigs here and there, but I wouldn't do any replacement right now just because it's so darn hot. I would wait for late August, mid to late August, and try doing it then to try to catch the summer season as it's cooling down, but still have enough time for the grass to root.
Okay. So it won't come back on its own then, once it's been
damaged? It can. It just depends on how severe the damage is. But to speed it up, if you have patches of bare soil, there's nothing wrong with reseeding those areas.
Okay. Yeah, and it will be, these are right next to healthy green grass, but I guess they could be spreading into the green grass too, right?
It could be. That's what grubs do. But if it's only brown in this one spot every year, it may not be grubs. And so I'm assuming that you're getting new spots around your yard.
There is one area far from this that is not by cement that I've noticed has just turned yellow. And I was thinking it was an irrigation problem, but
it could be. Try tugging on the grass. Before you go spend a lot of money on preventatives, it'd be worth tugging on the grass in this other area and maybe doing just a little bit more investigation.
Okay, but it's still possibly okay to try the GrubX or the BioAdvanced.
It is. I wouldn't do the GrubX at this point. I would do the BioAdvanced or Fertilome, another product, not the GrubX.
Okay.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call this morning. Thanks for listening. Next listener wants to know, what are you seeing with tomatoes? What are some of the concerns you're seeing with tomatoes this time of year, Ton?
There are a number of things that always happen. We've been seeing a condition called physiological leaf roll, to where when we start to get it in the hundreds, in high 90s to hundreds regularly, certain tomato plants will roll their leaves almost into the shape of a cigar.
Hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the plants. It's just a response to the heat and possibly drought stress. There's blossom end rot, which is a calcium deficiency that is caused by sporadic weather and sporadic watering, to where the tomatoes go from dry to wet to dry to wet to prevent it, even watering. But the first tomatoes of the season usually have more blossom end rot than ones that ripen later.
Right.
Those have been the main things.
But nothing unusual this year.
No. Nope.
I want to squeeze in one more question here. This person planted bristlecone pine the last week of March. Instructions said to water it 2 times a week for the first 3 months. But they're wondering now with this heat, can they back off the water or what should they do?
The best I can really say is to check the soil. Bristlecone pines can be killed by overwatering, and they're somewhat drought hardy. Mm-hmm. So I would stick with twice a week deeply for now. And if it looks healthy, leave it alone. Because if you increase it to 3 times a week and it doesn't need it, there's a potential to kill the tree.
All right. And we're going to take a break and come back with more of your calls. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Jack and Dave, your calls coming up next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Ton, how late in the fall is it okay to lay sod?
So laying sod is best done in the spring and fall. You can do it all summer.
Mm-hmm.
But with the water needs that it has being newly laid, it's not really all that water-wise. And I know a lot of cities are asking residents to voluntarily delay major landscaping projects. Now, there are situations where you have CCRs in a new development or something that would require you to put that sod in no matter, because if you don't, you'll get fined.
Sure.
But I would investigate such things and maybe delay. If, man, I hate saying this, until our drought conditions are lessened, but ideally I would wait till late August, mid to late August.
Okay, but how late can they wait?
Oh,
so if they're worried about the water and, you know.
Yeah, what my concerns are is they're going to run out of irrigation, and this year they're in danger of running out of irrigation water sooner and having to convert over to house water.
So this question could change in a couple of weeks or a month.
Depending on what money they want to put into it. Normally, mid-September is about as late as I would lay sod. You know, if landscape contractors would say, oh, we can push this to October or whatever, but personally, I'm a little more cautious in mid-September, but, you know, be cautious about that. Check with your irrigation company if you have secondary to see how late they're going to run. Check with your city to make sure that you're allowed to do it.
All right. Let's go to Jack in Riverdale. Good morning, Jack. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a small section of Bermuda grass that I've been trying to kill out the last 2 years, and I've mixed Aquazorb with Ornamec, but it, you know, I make sure all the leaves are completely, you know, damp, wet, and it just keeps coming back, and it's getting larger and larger. Is there anything I can purchase, and where to purchase something?
Well, the Bermuda grass is going to be a long-term fight, as you're seeing. And I might switch over to a product from BioAdvanced just called Bermuda Grass Killer. And it's less harmful potentially than Ornamec to lawns, and it suppresses it. But you would spray monthly, and it would take a couple of years, but eventually it will control the bluegrass. The other thing I would do is use a pre-emergent, and you would apply one in mid-April, but do it again 60 days later, because you don't want the Bermuda grass seeding. So you're going to take a multi-pronged approach to tackle this, but the BioAdvance Bermuda grass killer, and then in the spring and fall, you could use one just to rotate called Terflon Ester, but nothing's going to immediately get rid of it.
Okay, well, I know that a lot of people will say you can never get rid of it, and the roots are so deep, and they say don't even try. But I know there's...
You can get rid of it. The other solution here would be Roundup and just start over. You still have seeds, but Roundup will knock it out quite handily. But it's just, if you want to try to save the Kentucky bluegrass in there, then the Bayer Bermuda grass killer or Terflon Ester would be more the dosing it up every month or so to try to keep it suppressed and slowly kill it.
Yes, and that was my concern, too. I didn't want to ruin the grass that was around it, and I knew Roundup would take care of it. But anyway, I will try the Bermuda grass killer. And where do you purchase that at?
It's the BioAdvanced is carried by a lot of local garden centers and farm stores and hardware stores. So I believe, I don't know if Lowe's
He's
or Home
in
Depot.
Riverdale, yeah.
Okay. Lowe's or Home Depot would probably not have it because it's a specialty thing you could check, but I know you can also order it online.
Okay. And we do have an IFA, so maybe they
check
may
with them.
Have
yeah, it. Any place the BioAdvanced is the former company known as Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R. They were bought out and changed their name to BioAdvanced. So it'll have the same labeling, just a slightly different name.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your information. I appreciate it.
Great. Jack, thanks so much for listening. Let's try and take another caller here before the top of the hour news. Let's go to Dave in Bountiful. Good morning, Dave. What is your question?
Yes, good morning. Last year, I bought some bare root hybrid poplars. And they didn't grow as much as I wanted them to last year. And then over the winter, as we came into spring, I think that the tops of the trees maybe froze off or did something. And so I remember maybe 4 weeks or 6 weeks ago, you said how to reestablish the canopy. So how do I do that? Because I've got some really good shoots growing from the very bottom of the tree, but trees, I put 10 of them in, but the tops, the main trunk going up, halfway up, everything from there up died.
Just prune out the dead and let the lower limbs take over and just let one grow up as the leader. And then as it forms side branches, just see that you kind of prune it a little bit to try to form a new tree. You'll have a crook in the trunk for several years that'll eventually probably disappear, but just prune the dead out and go from there.
Okay. I'm specifically looking at one tree or where the side branches coming from towards the bottom, all of them are almost as tall as the tree was. So do I cut out all of those but one?
Keep one. And if you wanted to, you could cut some of the others back halfway to see if you could force them to shoot some side branches. But this is going to be a project for a couple of years because this is the tendency of those poplars to send out a lot of side branches and almost form a bush that grows into a multi-stem tree. So you'll take the one that's the tallest and straightest, knock most of the other ones out, and then you, from the one that's growing up tall and straight on the side branches, see if you can keep that intact.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. We have about a minute left before the top of the hour news, Tana. Next person has a question about Canby raspberries. They say their raspberries are good, but the question is, why do some berries have whiter albino parts of the berry?
It could be from a lack of pollination that just didn't get enough pollinators in there because it sometimes takes multiple hits on a flower. It sounds like they're doing drugs, but it takes multiple times of the insects visiting the flower for everything to get pollinated. It could be a heat thing, especially if one side of the berry is dried out. Sometimes insects will suck juice out and cause kind of hard formations on there. There could be a few things going on.
All right. But the berry's still fine, right?
Yes, they're fine. And you can just cut that part out if you want or eat it or whatever. But usually the heat can cause some of that, but a lot of times it's just a lack of sufficient pollination.
All right. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls and questions. When we come back, though, after the top of the hour news, we're going to be talking about ant control. Seems to be a lot of ants out there this year. What can you do about them? What damage can they cause? We'll talk about that coming up. And the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. We'll be right back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.